I'm Krista Hepburn. You're listening to County Grows on the Grapevine. Well, spring has sprung and the grass has risen, and many of us are out here gardening to our heart's content. Once again, the Prince Edward County Master Gardeners Group is here to help. And today we have with us Quentin Wine, a master gardener, who will discuss companion planting and plant pairings. Welcome, Quentin.
Thank you, Krista, and thank you so much for having me on your show. Our group is always grateful for the chance to give advice to our community and its gardeners. And as a reminder, we encourage anyone in the county to get answers to any gardening questions they might have by contacting our website, pecmastergardeners.ca, or they can check out our Facebook page at Prince Edward County Master Gardeners.
Sounds good. So tell us, what is companion gardening all about? Does this mean I have to drag my partner off the couch or out of the shop?
Well, not really. Well, I guess it's always best to start with a definition. So I would offer that companion planting is when two plants are grown near each other for the benefit of one of those plants or both. So the benefit can be one way or mutual. A companion planting could be as simple as growing flowers near your crops to attract pollinating insects, or growing two vegetables alongside each other to confuse or repel pests. We're talking about companions in the sense of strategically choosing plants that either like or don't like to be together, or can help or hinder one another. So the philosophy behind this is easily explained by the three sisters approach that many people are probably familiar with. And that approach proved very successful for indigenous peoples across North and Central America. Essentially, three sisters is the intercropping of corn, beans, and squash in close proximity and in beneficial relationships with one another. So the corn grows upright, vertically, of course, and it provides both food and plant material for composting, but it also serves as a trellis for the beans to grow on, so they do not compete for light with the squash. And the beans provide food when they deteriorate. And as a legume, they help fix nitrogen in the soil. And the large leaves of the squash provide ground cover that helps retain soil moisture and prevent weeds, that also benefits the corn and the squash, or and the beans, I should say.
Yes, three sisters is an approach I'm aware of. But I've got to say, I'm already thinking ahead about what I'm going to do if I find out I've made a mistake in planting things together.
Well, the good news is that it's almost never too late to correct a mistake or to improve things in your garden by understanding which plants should and should not grow together. So you can always change things. And, you know, you might notice that plants are struggling to live in close proximity or thriving in close proximity, so it may be something that is intuitive. The thing is, it's important to understand why this is the case and you might achieve and what you might achieve by making some changes.
Sounds fascinating. So let's dive in.
Okay, so to start off, once you know what does and doesn't go together, you can plan a little better before you start planting next year so that you can get ahead of the game. So let's begin with good neighbors and why they like to be together. So basically, there's four benefits that you can achieve by planning with companion planting in mind. First of all, there's physical crop protection. So some plants are tougher than others and can handle wind and heat or moisture or what have you, the physical effects, more ably than others. Tough plants can give shelter and protection to others in harsh conditions. So trees and shrubs can shelter smaller plants from the drying and forceful action of winds and weather. Also, limiting risk when you have tough conditions, whether it's because of drought or wetness or, you know, foot traffic or who knows what. Choosing an abundance of a certain plant will ensure that you have something to look at in case your weaker plants fail or conditions get worse than expected. So you increase your chances of having a successful show in your garden, if that's what you're trying to achieve, by having an abundant one crop that makes up for the losses of others. Also, positive hosting. This is really a main focus, and we all know that, for example, bees pollinate flowers and that it's important to plant pollinators. This is companion planting. Some plants attract bees while others produce a surplus of nectar or have other attributes that support beneficial insects. Giving them a helping hand can help other plants and help manage harmful pests or other conditions in your garden. So, for example, hummingbirds, who are an important pollinator also, can benefit from plants that offer perches or have red flowers or tubular shapes because hummingbirds are attracted to the color red. So eastern red columbine, for example, is a good choice for that. There's a lot going on under the ground, too. So other plants improve your soil, like clover. So red clover is a legume. And legumes have the tendency to form symbiotic relationships with bacteria in the soil, especially in the rhizobium gene. And we all think that clover inserts nitrogen into the soil, but it's actually that bacteria that generates the nitrogen by thriving in the soil. And the clover supports that bacteria. So that bacteria and the clover together fix the nitrogen in the soil and make it available to plants that grow in that, other plants that grow in that soil. So if your lawn is looking a little pale and struggling, you might overseed it with some clover so that in the next season, it's going to look a little bit greener and it's going to have some flowers that will help bees, and it'll also give you a little color in your lawn. Mm. So also trap cropping is another approach, and they say that defense is the best offense. So some plants like marigolds have characteristics that drive off pests, and they can protect the other plants that you like. So we often see marigolds or taggets planted as border plants for that reason. And they also add great color. And similarly, thyme has the characteristic of repelling cabbage moths. So if you're planting cabbages, you might want to have some thyme in close proximity.
So those are the positives. Are there any negatives or pitfalls to avoid?
Well, there sure are. It's important to know that the caustic effects of certain plants and what plants are not compatible. So, for example, Juglandaceae are a plant genus that includes trees which produce juglone, particularly walnuts, let's say. Juglone is a strong toxin that causes damage to both plants and living, and usually plants will have difficulty growing within drip line of, a walnut tree. But if limiting the growth of other plants within that drip line is your objective, then you could really say that it's a benefit. But so you should be aware that certain plants produce these toxins. So certain toxins can also spread within a genus, so that it's important to know that there are other associations. So, for example, Solanaceae are the nightshade family of plants. It's a large group of plants, and some of them we use for food, like tomatoes, potatoes, eggplants, and peppers. And these plants are all susceptible to the same or similar pest, so that they shouldn't really be planted in close proximity, because if that pest does show up, it's going to affect all of those plants. In particular, for example, nightshades are extremely adversely affected by tobacco mosaic virus. And if you have tomatoes planted, for example, in close proximity to potatoes, that will spread to your potatoes and infect again, other plants that are from that same family. And, you know, tobacco mosaic virus, as an example, is so virulent that it can actually be spread in the smoke of cigarettes. So try to keep smokers away from your tomatoes. Now, that is debatable. Some people say that it's not spread in the smoke, but there are studies that show that it is the TM, tobacco mosaic virus RNA, is present in the saliva of smokers. And, of course, that is because they inhale the smoke. So to my mind, I believe it is transferred in the smoke. So keep smokers away from your garden if you can.
Another reason to smoke.
Well, and if you love those people, encourage them not to smoke. Yes.
Yeah. So we really need to give our garden some thought when laying it out.
Absolutely. It's not just about aesthetics or convenience. It's about understanding the types of plants that you want to grow and how they interact. You know, we want to take advantage of symbioses and avoid conflicts to achieve maximum efficiency and maximum production from both vegetables and flower garden.
Well, once again, you've given us a lot to think about. Thank you so much for being with me today, Quentin.
It's my pleasure, as always, Krista. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
I'm Krista Hepburn. I've been speaking to Quentin Wine, Master Gardener, on County Grows on the Grapevine.